we tend to take them all for granted, but we was up at the funeral home last night. These things just come to my mind. I was at the funeral home last night, and me and Stephanie and John got the tour of the casket room. And I was looking around them. I said, you know what, it ain't too exciting to think about these. They had some that was nice, but none that I was ready to get in today. But thank God he's given us a blessing of life to be here one more day and enjoy our friends and families and get to worship him in spirit and in truth. We still live in a country where it's free. We're free to do this, and I thank God for that, and thank God for each one of y'all this morning. And do we have any prayer requests? I'll ask you to remember Frida. Remember Frida. Also, the Daniel family, a good friend of mine, his dad passed away, Hoyt Daniel. We'll be doing the funeral here at 2 o'clock or at Dryden's. I've got a part in it, too, so remember us and pray for that family. As his, he'd lost his mom several years ago and lost his dad Thursday, I guess it was, Thursday, Friday. But so continue to remember them and be much in prayer for them as they stand in need of it this time. Do you have any more prayer requests? Just continue to remember our church, remember one another. We are, of course, we got our college-age kids going back to school, our teenage kids, and small children's already back in school. Remember our teachers that have to put up with them on a daily basis, and I can't imagine. So any more prayer requests? Anybody? Not Terry, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness of a Savior. The hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. For Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, Author of salvation. rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. You are mighty to save. Thank you.
Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Amen.
Just dwell on these words. Be still and know that I am God.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness.
Word of God, speak.
Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down my rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour
Appreciate that singing this morning. And the message the Lord's laid on my heart is hard. It's a hard one. It's as I've dealt with it this week. Brother Scott says he preached last Sunday. Scott Gentry, some of y'all may not have been here. Scott Gentry preached for us last Sunday and done a great job. And I told him when he was leaving, I'd love to be able to say I enjoyed that, but I didn't. His message really hit me, really hit home with me. And the Lord began preparing this message for us this week, and I began studying for it. This one hit me again also, and as we come to preach this morning, this is one that you got to put a disclaimer with. I want to go ahead and tell you I love you, because at the end of this, you don't think I will. But it's like when your daddy used to sit down and tell you that it's going to hurt him worse than it did you. I never believed it, because he's the one with the belt, but I don't know that my daddy ever told me that, but he didn't put disclaimers with nothing, but I had a school teacher one time would tell us that this is going to hurt you more than it is me, and he was lying also. But today, it's honestly one of those things that must be preached today. It's some of these things that's not preached any longer for fear of running people off, I guess. But it's the Word of God, and it's not my words. It's His Word. And His Word hurts. His Word cuts. It's like a two-edged sword. So this morning, I've already gave you warnings, but if you have your Bibles, open it up to Hosea chapter number 4. Hosea chapter number 4, give you a little background while you're turning there. Hosea was a prophet. Hosea was a prophet, and God had called this man to preach the word of God. In doing so, he made him live out his ministry and his life. He told him to go take a wife. I must have done something wrong. They're staring at me back there. But they told him to go take a wife of whoredoms and marry her. He says, go take a wife, knowing what she's going to do, and marry this woman. And he said, she's going to cheat on you. She's going to have other men in her life, but I want you to marry this woman. Now you begin to say, well, that don't make any sense. We know what the Bible speaks about that, but that's what God told this man to do because he wanted him to see in firsthand what it feels like to be in his place. And I want y'all to understand something this morning, that mine and your life, many times we commit spiritual whoredom against our God. On a daily basis we do this, and it comes from a very simple reason. So let me begin reading in Hosea chapter number 4. And also, as I was studying or listening last week to Miss Penny teach our Sunday school lesson, something hit me also. When we read the Word of God, if you turn to Ezra, we're not going to turn there, but in Ezra, when the Word of God was read, they stood. I think it's appropriate this morning that we stand at the reading of God's Word, and after I'm done, you will be seated. But in Hosea chapter number 4, verse number 1, if you would please stand. Hosea chapter 4, verse number 1 says, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, and the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive nor reprove another, for thy people are as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shall thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I want you to get this verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of God, of thy God. I will also forget thy children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people like priests, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredoms, and they shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Listen to verse number 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains, and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we know it's hard this morning. God, I pray that you prepare our hearts as we preach this, what is hard in our ears. And Father, we don't like to hear these things times, but Lord, we know we've come to a point in our land and even in our churches and in our communities where we must preach what says your word. And God, we ask you for grace and mercy this morning, and thank you that you've offered it to us. And Lord, we thank you and ask you, bless it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. As I began reading in verse number 4, as I got to verse number 6, I ask you to take notice to this verse because it begins telling us something. And if I had a title for this sermon, it would be The Dangers of No Knowledge. The dangers of no knowledge. You say, well, wait a minute now. We've got more knowledge in today than we've ever had. And you're absolutely right. We've got more knowledge. You can get on Google and you can find how to do anything. Or you can get on YouTube. And we was talking about it Wednesday night, Terry. You can get on YouTube and you can fix your washing machine. There's knowledge available to us everywhere. You can get on YouTube. You can find many things you might need to do or some things you probably don't need to do. Amen. But you can get on there and you can be filled with all kinds of knowledge. So what in the world is the Bible talking about when it says that there's no knowledge? There's no knowledge. Listen, the word knowledge it's talking about here, this knowledge of God, is the same knowledge that this Hebrew word meant the knowledge between a man and a wife. The intimate knowledge that a man and a wife have between one another. That's the kind of knowledge it's talking about that we must have of God. Now listen, how do you get this knowledge of your husband or knowledge of your wife? You do it from spending time with them, from living with them, from day after day, hour after hour. You know that person as nobody else does. And listen, we can put on a good picture in front of you and everybody else, but I promise you, Stephanie knows things about me that she better not tell you or I'll whoop her. And I know things about her that I wouldn't tell you because I wouldn't want you to think worse of her. Listen, she's pretty great anyway. Y'all don't tell her I said that. But listen, we all know things about our husband or wives that we would not tell in public. We just wouldn't. We all know things about each other that is bad. We got this devotion book that she's making me. It's sad that she has to do this because I'm the man of the house, but she's making me read this thing every night when we go to bed. And the guy in there was talking about hard truths the other night, and I got tickled and got laughing a little bit. He said there's times that you may not tell the whole truth. And it maybe make good sense not to do so. He said, he said that if a man is laying there beside his wife and he tells her that I don't like your legs being fat, you're probably going to cause trouble. You probably need to leave that off. You probably don't need to do that. Or when your wife asks you if that dress makes her look big, you better tell a white lie. Or you're going to be in trouble. But he was kidding about that. But he said there's times we need to use our minds. But listen, it tells us the dangers of no knowledge. And the first one it talks about is destruction. In verse number 6 of chapter number 4, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. I begin thinking about that and thinking about why are we destroyed for lack of knowledge. And listen, it's so easy to look around our land today and even look around our churches and our homes and understand something, that there is a lack of knowledge of God. I'm not talking about a lack of not having enough Bibles or none of this. I'm talking about a personal relationship with a holy God. I'm talking about spending time one-on-one with God. There is a lack of it going on in our homes, and that's where everything extends from. Hey, it starts in our homes, it comes to our churches, and it goes out into our land. That's where everything begins at. And it says there's destruction because of a lack of knowledge. And the first thing it begins getting on is priests. Now listen, I was all excited to preach this thing until I began studying about what the priest was doing in this day. The problem was in Israel because the priest has went away from following God. And it told me this morning that pastors is my position. The reason it tells us there in verse number 9, it says, as there shall be like people, like priests. In other words, like the pastor is, so will the people be. And bless our hearts, we're in bad trouble in this place. But listen, as the leaders are, so goes the whole congregation. If you work in a company, the management, so the top management is, so goes the whole company. And the same way it is in our church today, is we as leaders have a great responsibility to have a great knowledge of God. And the bottom line of this thing is most leaders, even pastors, preachers, teachers, deacons, whatever place you want to put yourself, there's a lack of a knowledge of God. There's a lack of spending time with God. There's a lack of truly knowing what God says about a matter. Now, sometimes we know what God says about a matter, but we do exactly what Israel did. They rejected the knowledge of God. Because it may infringe on something I want to do. I may enjoy this certain sin, and the Bible says I can't do it, so I simply reject it, I look over it, and I go on and do it anyway, because it's 2018, and this thing's supposed to be acceptable today. I can't hurt anybody's feelings, I can't say anything that anybody does is wrong, because we're living in a time when you must cater to everybody's feelings, or you won't have a great congregation. Well, bless God, we may never have a great conversation, congregation, whatever y'all call out there. We may not have a very big one ever, but I promise you one thing, until the day I die, unless something bad happens to me, I'm going to preach the Word of God. It may not be proper, it may not be what you want to hear, but bless God, it's going to be the truth this morning. And the truth is, we have a lack of knowledge of God. We have a lack of knowledge. You can go to people and say, what does God say about this matter? And they say, I don't know. I don't know what He says about it. We very seldom pick up this thing, and we want to know how we're supposed to live. Now listen, I want you to think about this. In any job you do, you had to gain knowledge of it. When John first went to work at Honda, I promise you, he did not know what to do of everything about that job. When Terry first got his job in a nursing in the hospital room or in the operating room, he didn't know exactly what to do in every situation, and he still don't. You know what? That I hadn't stopped them from striving to gain more knowledge about the position, but still, there's times you don't know what to do. But bless God, we as God's people, we have left away trying to gain knowledge of God because it hurts our feelings. Hurts our feelings. The problem started with the priest, and it came all the way down. The leadership. Oh my goodness, are we struggling in our churches today with our leadership? Listen, we have pastors and deacons that's just living any kind of way. They're getting caught up in all kind of things. We see it on every side. We see it all the time. There's no separation from them and the rest of the world. The reason you can't get people to come to church is because they say, I'm just as good as that bunch of people because I see the way they live at work. I see the way they live in their job. I see the way they live on all these other things. So why in the world do I need to be at that place? Listen, people. It's time as God's people that we gain an understanding of who He is and what He expects from us. I knew a guy one time. He told us, he said, I believe we're going to get to heaven and we're going to find out that God's not as strict as we think He is. I said, bless your heart, brother. I think backwards. I think we're going to get to heaven and we're going to figure out that God's way more strict than we think He is. God expects us to live a holy life. God expects us to live a sinless life. I know that's not possible. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ can we do that. But He expects us to strive to be a set out people different from the rest of the world. And that's, I know that's what's happened. That's why the power is no longer in our churches, because our leadership is living like the rest of the world. A lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. Listen, it's not that we don't have the knowledge available, it's that we're rejecting the knowledge of God. We simply rebel against it. We talked about it in our Sunday school class. Why in the world do we love to rebel against things? But we do. It's the sin nature that's put into us. You don't think so. You get to your job tomorrow, and your boss tells you to say, hey, buddy, you need to sweep up your office a little bit. You're going to get mad. You know what you're going to do? You're going to take your trash can, and you're going to dump it out and say, how you like that? And then you get to thinking, and the Lord smites you, and you have to sweep it all back up. We hate having to give in to things. And we begin to reject the knowledge. Listen to what he says. He says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, and I will forget thy children. Boy, this is some dangerous stuff here. I want you to think about this. What responsibility we as leaders have today. You may not be a leader of this church. You may simply be a member. You just may be sitting on the pews. But let me tell you something, men. If you are a man today and you have a wife and you have a children, bless God, you are a leader of your home. And you have a responsibility as that leader to have an intimate knowledge of God. You have a responsibility not to be rejecting the knowledge of God. You have a responsibility to be living as thus saith the word of God. Because listen, you've got a whole family that's up under you that's watching. And I've seen this firsthand. And so I go, and so spiritual as I get, and as learned as I get in the word of God, you know what? My family begins falling right in there. Man, if you want to see your wife get closer to God, let me give you a challenge. You get closer to God. And I promise you that woman will fall in there. They will. I saw it time after time. They're way better than we are. And y'all better not be recording this because it's going to get me in trouble. Listen, if you'll begin getting you a knowledge of God, digging in the Word of God, and not rejecting the knowledge of God, and living the way the Bible says you live, brother, you're going to see a difference in your household. You're going to see a difference in your children. You're going to see a difference in your wife. You'll see a difference in the whole setup when you get you a knowledge of God. You say, "Woo, that ain't fun," but you got a responsibility. You got a responsibility. So it began with a priest. And the knowledge, but they rejected it. Didn't want nothing to do with it. Because all this other stuff, listen, let me tell you something. You know why the priest was doing this? They had gotten so far away that the priestly job became just what I said. It was a job. And listen, you listen to even Christian radio today, you know what they'll tell you? If you want to get into ministry, then you can go to such and such college and you can become a pastor or you can become a preacher or this and that. Listen, brother, I don't know about you, but I never wanted to do this thing I'm doing right here. I wanted to be a race car driver. Boy, I missed it, Mark, didn't I? Listen, I never had any idea that I wanted to preach the Word of God. And what I'm telling you this morning is it's not something you wake up one day and you say, I'm going to go to school to be a preacher. Bless God, I believe there must be a calling on your life. I believe there must be a calling. I believe there's men standing in our pulpits today that God has never called to be there. I don't know their hearts. That's between them and God. But listen, many of them's there to get a paycheck. Many of them's there for the whatever glory they think comes along with it. I ain't found that part yet. But listen, all these people, and the priest was the same way that was there simply to gain this. Listen, you know why the priest was there in this day? Because they had gotten so profane that they was having temple prostitutes. Go study it. They was having prostitutes even in the temples, and that's how far they was from the knowledge of God. But we know that's not godly, and God never put that in His Word, but these priests was involved with it, and they was trying to lead people, and the priest was probably saying on a daily basis, why in the world is our country going like it is? Why in the world is this going that way or that going that way? And all along, the priest was living a life that was full of sin. It's the same way today. So went the priest. So went the people. So the priest had a responsibility. But listen, also the people had a responsibility. Oh, just because you may not be in the ministry and you may not be called a pastor or a preacher, brother, you're not out of responsibility. You still hold this. Listen, it tells in Hosea chapter 4, verse 9, and there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. They shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. He's saying, people, you are not you're not done away with because you pastors out of the will of God. It's your responsibility is not washed away because the man you're listening to preach on Sunday mornings or Wednesday night or whoever your Sunday school teacher, any of this stuff must be, because they're not living for God. You're not. You're still responsible for this because you have ears to hear. You have a heart that can feel. You've been given the Word of God, so you yourself know how you should be living. Listen, we're all accountable for our own actions. Boy, we don't like that word today, do we? No, we don't. We want to believe that I can live this way because, bless God, I was born that way. I can do this because that's the way God made me. I can do this. God just put the taste of alcohol on my lips when I was born. That's the reason I must drink. Or God put the need for drugs in me when I was born. That's the reason. Or listen, boy, I love this one. I had a bad home life. And listen, I know about bad home lives. I've been around some of this stuff. I know that some of that is real. But I want to tell you something. You are accountable for your own actions. You've been given the Word of God. Had a cousin one time, and he could not stay out of trouble. He was in trouble every way he turned, and he would this. And I would talk to my grandmother, and she'd say, well, you know his daddy died when he was young. I said, I completely understand that, Grandma. But this man is 30 years old today. It's time he takes responsibility for his actions. And boy, she'd get mad at me. She'd get mad at me, but listen, is it not time that we as God's people begin to take accountability for our actions and realize maybe the reason our families are going away from God, maybe the reason our churches are going away from God, yes, it's the preacher's fault because the Bible says that. As such goes him, goes the people. But there comes a time that the people should be able to go forward with God without a pastor. You know why? Because they got the best one right here. They got the Word of God. Listen, you don't need me to tell you on a daily basis how you should live. Get into the Word of God and find the knowledge of God, and you'll figure out how you should live. But what reason we don't is because it hurts. As they was increased, and as they sinned against me. Did you catch that verse? In verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, listen to this. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Have you ever lived at a time is when people are more blessed than they are today? Have you ever lived at a time when people are living as cushy a life as they are right now? Listen, we're sitting in a beautiful building with plush carpet, and we got air conditioning that can keep it about 70 degrees in here. We've got coffee in there to drink. If you want some water, we got some downstairs. We've even got an indoor bathroom. Maybe if you need to spank your children, you don't have to go outside the woodshed anymore. You don't have to do any of these things. We got cars that get us here that'll run 80 miles an hour, and we'll do this, and bless God, about half our pews are empty. You know what? The Bible knows what it's talking about, don't it? It says, as we are increased, we sin against God. The more we get, the further we get away. Can you imagine how God must feel? As there's increase, I begin to sin. So, the bottom line of this first section of destruction is the priest and the people alike are involved in the folly of our land. In the failures of the United States of America, and all of them we got, we tend to blame it on everything. Man, I see it, and people want to say, we was talking about this morning, there's no doubt we have outside influences from our cell phones and from all this stuff. And I've heard people say, well, what we need is more godly TV shows. And yes, there's no doubt that would help. What we need is more this and that. Or what we need maybe, I'll tell you what it is, our teacher's fault. That's the reason our children are this way. We need prayer back in school. Boy, I've heard that till I want to throw up. We need all these things. That's when it probably started. It's 1962. They took prayer out of school. And that just ruined all of our children. Let me tell you something, honey. That ain't what run our children. What run our children is mom and daddy got away from God. Boy, that ain't fun. Is it? Ain't it much funner to blame it on the teacher? Yes, it's way more fun. It's way more easy to say it's the public school's fault. It's the reason that we read all these children and all of them wind up in a prison system and all these things, and nobody wants to take responsibility and understand the reason this is because of people had a lack of a knowledge of God. We got a lack of a knowledge of God. That's what we got in our land. It's not that we're Democrats, Republicans, that separated. The separation is a lack of knowledge of God. If everybody had the knowledge of God like it's supposed to be, we wouldn't have those groups of separation. It's a lack of a knowledge of God. It's that simple. So it caused destruction. Listen what else it causes. It's desolation. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. Boy, I read this and I had to ponder on this one a while. And as I began pondering, I was ready to preach against those that may be alcoholics. And I was ready to get on them hard, but I saw myself in one of these words. I saw myself in some of this stuff that I began thinking about. Listen, desolation, I wrote down the meaning of it. Do you know what the meaning of desolation is? It's a complete state of emptiness. A complete state of emptiness. And you know what makes us what we describe? I know it's not our physical heart that pumps blood, but our heart. It's the very inward being of man. It's who you are. It's your makeup. It's what the Bible's talking about. Now, the heart of man is who you're at the very core of your soul. It's what it is. And listen, this verse in chapter 11 tells us that whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. And listen, if you've got a man that does not have a heart, you know what you've got? You've simply got an empty shell. You've got complete desolation in that life. You've got a people that's there. Listen, all this begins with our head. It begins with our head. Why did I say that? What does the Bible say? By the renewing of your mind. You know why? Because sin starts in the mind. How does sin start? Sin starts with a thought. And what happens is, you might disagree with this. If you do, that's fine. We'll talk about it after service. But I believe that we're not in full control of what thought pops in our minds. I'll tell you, I know we're not, because I have some thoughts sometimes. And I say, God, where in the world did that come from? We're not responsible for that first thought that pops in there. But what we are responsible for is when we begin dwelling on that thought. And we begin dwelling on that thought and building on that thought. And before long, the thought becomes a lust. And before you know it, guess what? It's made it all the way to your hands. Casting Crowns sang a song. The distance between the mind and the hands is closer than you think. The name of the song is A Slow Fade. They sang it back in the early 2000s, A Slow Fade. But boy, how quick does it go from our minds to our hands? You can talk to men today who have gotten caught up in drug abuse or maybe gotten caught up in affairs, different things, and you can say, where did it start? And if I'm honest with you, you know where it started? It started from a single thought. It started from a thought, and that thought, we begin building on those thoughts and dwelling on them, and before long, that thing become a lust, and before long, it come to our hands, and we was caught up in a sin we couldn't get out of. Where does this come from? How does it get into our heads? What we see. What we see. Boy, we're exposing ourselves to more information today than we ever have. What we see. We see it on every side. You go down the road and advertising something, and there it is. You go down, you turn on the TV onto a game show, and old Steve Harvey's show over there. You know the reason that they give for that show being on such a rise it is today? Yes, Steve Harvey's a great entertainer. He can keep people's attention. He can make people watch. But you know what they say is one of the reasons that show's doing so well today? They have changed their content to sexual content. Watch it. Watch it. Some pretty ugly stuff on there. And listen, we're all sitting in front of that, and we talk about it, and we complain about it, but bless God, has anybody in here got a TV that does not have an off switch? Nope. All of them got off switch. All of them's got a plug in. If you don't have an off switch, you can't unplug that thing, and it will not work. All of them's got a plug in or an off switch. What we see. We're bombarded with it. We feel this stuff in our minds, and it comes into there, and we wonder, why did this thought come, or how did this come there? Bless God, most of the time, it's something we see. And Penny, I didn't even know your Sunday school lesson was going to come into this, but what we hear. What we hear, what are we subject to every single day? Listen, I was raised up with old country music, Conway Twitty and George Jones, and I know they sang about cheating on their wives, and old George Jones was drunk more than he was sober. And all those things. And for some reason, I like to hear George Jones sing. I don't know why it is. But you turn on a country radio station now, and all you're going to hear is some nastiness and something that they just take words and they put them where they think that somebody might listen to them, and they make absolutely no sense. I mean, everything about it makes no sense. And our children listen to this stuff, man, they'll be going down the road singing it and say, whoa, this is a good song. Man, this thing is just, I love this song. You ask them what it's about? I don't know. But it's good. What we hear. What we hear. Be careful what you let your children hear. Be careful what you let them hear. And yes, listen, the TV's bombarding them, and the radio's bombarding them, and all these things is bombarding them. But listen, I think what's most of all is, listen, what do they hear out of your mouth? What do they hear out of your wife's mouth? What do they hear out of daddy's mouth? What do they hear on a daily basis? Do they hear that God is God and beside Him is none other? Do they hear how great God is? Do they hear things about church and not how bad the pastor is or their Sunday school teacher is? Do they hear positive things? Do they hear that daddy learned more about God today? Do they hear daddy teaching the scripture at the table? Do they hear daddy reading to them the Bible at night? Or do they simply hear a TV on and that being used as a babysitter? What do they hear? What do we hear? We allow these thoughts to dwell in our minds. They eventually make it into our hands. But oh, when it goes to the head, it comes to the heart. The most inward part of our being. And those three things. Those three things, you know a Baptist preacher ain't going to let this get away. The most three things, listen, it tells us something. Whoredom. I begin searching that word out. Yes, in this sense, it could mean spiritual whoredom of going after things, letting things replace God. It may be a favorite TV show and your Bible study time. It replaces God. It may be a certain hobby you have that you let it replace God. Or it may even be a job you have and you have an opportunity to work or do your Bible study time or come to church and you choose work. Listen, my wife's at work right now. I know there's times we must have to work, but work can become an idol also. It can become something that we put above God, and that whoredoms can be that. But listen, this is one that hurts right here. That whoredoms also can simply mean sexual sin. Sexual sin. Listen, men, this thing ain't being preached about in front of pulpits because they're worried about children being in the aisles, and I do not want to say anything to upset you about this, but what I want to tell you is there's an epidemic going around today. It's in our churches, it's in our homes, it's in our workplaces, it's everywhere, and this thing is pornography. It's bigger than any affair problem ever was with men, and it's even got women, it's got kids of all ages. I have heard stories of 10 or 11-year-old kids at Rabern High School been involved in this stuff and showed it to their friends. This thing is ever more prevalent today than it's ever been. And listen, you say, well, it's not any big deal. You can just put that out of your mind. The researchers have found that once you see that image, it cannot be unseen. It's forever there. You cannot get away from it. It's forever ingrained in your mind. Listen, what's the big deal with that? What's the big deal with seeing that? What's the big deal in watching that? It's simply in verse 11, it says, whoredom takes away the heart. Takes away the heart. That's pretty serious. It didn't stop there. It says whoredom and wine. And I began looking this, and some of them people that's more a little self-righteous will say, well, preacher, that's talking about some grape juice right here. And one of these are talking about grape juice. But this one right here, when you look up this word wine, I had to get this one broke down for you a little bit. The Hebrew word of this thing, let me find where I got it at. Yayin. I don't even know that's how you say that. Yah-yin. That is the Greek word or Hebrew word for wine in this context. You know what it means? Literally, a fermented, intoxicating drink. Whew. That's a Bible word. It's an intoxicating drink. It says if you mess with this, it'll take away your heart. And listen, people even in our church pews, and people may even be teaching our children, and people doing all these things, maybe people behind the pulpits today and all over our land are saying, listen, I can handle this. I can handle this. I am a social drinker. Listen, brother, I see nowhere in the Bible where it says it's okay to social drink because you can handle it. I see in the Bible where it says that it takes away the heart. It takes away the heart. I'm not saying there's not somebody that can take one drink and go about their business because there probably is. But listen, I live with a granddad. I didn't live with a granddad, but I saw a granddad. I saw a grandmother who would come to my home beat up from a granddad who could not handle this because this wine took away his heart. Without this wine in him and white liquor and beer and all this stuff, he was the greatest person you would ever meet. He would help anybody on the street, but you let him get a hold of some of this stuff, and it took away his heart. I've seen him beat my grandmother more than one time. I want to tell you something. You may get mad at me and never return, but you cannot handle alcohol. You cannot handle alcohol. I went Monday night and I preached to some addicts up there at Brandon's church. And listen, great ministry they started. I went and preached to them, and after it, I got to talking to the man who was over it. And we began asking him what was the success rate of getting off of meth or all this other stuff. He said about 1 in 10 people. I talked to him about a young man I know, and I said, how can he get help? He said, well, give my number. He said, what's he on? I said, I think he's on meth. He said, oh, that's easy to come off of. I said, really? He said, yeah, you can come off meth. You ain't going to have no effects. You ain't going to have no DTs. You're not going to go into shakes or sweat or throw up. You're not going to die. You can just come right off of that and just continue in rehab. I said, what's the hardest? Hold to your seat now. Alcohol. Alcohol is still the hardest. He said, you get an alcoholic, they must have some or they'll die. You must transition them off this stuff. It'll die. And you say, well, it's not that dangerous. It's not near as bad as meth. Listen, I probably have to agree with you. Most alcoholics ain't missing teeth and their bodies ain't shriveled up and all this stuff. But I'm talking about the heart today. And according to the Word of God, it will take away your heart. It'll take away your heart. It'll take away the very inner beings. Listen, not only will it take away your heart, it'll take away the hearts of those that love you. It'll take away the hearts of those who are closest to you. It'll eventually destroy you. Listen, people, the Bible talks about sin for a reason, because it's dangerous, it's our enemy, and we cannot handle it. Listen, I've been taught all my life that a rattlesnake will kill you. Has anybody else been taught that? That a rattlesnake will kill you. And you know what I do? I work at a place where I'm around a bunch of junk cars and all this stuff, and I have to walk through weeds, and I'm constantly looking down. You know why? Because I don't want to step on a rattlesnake. And listen, as a man lives close to me, for some crazy reason, he'll pick him up. One day, it's going to get him. But listen, I've been taught rattlesnakes will kill me, so I don't pick them up. I've been taught that drinking antifreeze will kill me, so I just stay away from it. I've been caught doing all these other things. And listen, I'm so glad that God put a hypochondriac's mind in my body. Stephanie says that's what I am, because everything I see on TV, I get it. They say this, I say, hey, you better check me for that. I think I might have it. Y'all ever seen that giraffe on Madagascar? That's me. But listen, as I was coming up in school, they used to tell us this. Show us these videos about alcohol and marijuana back then. Wasn't no meth out. Probably some hard stuff we didn't know about in Ramburn, but listen. They began showing us this stuff, and they told us, they said, one time of smoking this, and your heart can stop. And brother, I believed them. I believed them. They said, one time doing this, you'll become an addict. And I believed them. They showed me pictures of them people who had been on this stuff for all these years and showed me what they looked like. And listen, I believed them. I didn't want no part of it, and I stayed away from it, and I thank God that he put that mind in me to want to do that. But also understand something. I was with those people Monday night. There's some people that struggle. There's some people that struggle. And this guy said something that has stuck in my mind, Terry, all week. He said, I've been an addict. He said, I lived on whatever you shoot in your veins. I don't know what that drug is. And it mixed with enough water it takes to shoot it in there. It was all the water I was getting every day. He said, I don't know why I like these, but said I lived on that and gummy worms. And he said, I had no nutritional value. My body was shriveling up. It was going down. And he said, you know what? He said, the society says that addiction is a disease. Society says that alcoholism is a disease. Society says that all these things are diseases. You know why society says that? Because we won't have to take accountability for it. He said, you know what addiction is? Addiction is a learned habit. And to get rid of it, you've got to learn the habit. And he said, you know the way that I got rid of it? He said, you can't do this in a year. He'd been through all the programs. He said, you can't do that in a year. You can't do it at any time. He said, the only way that I'm clean today is I fell in love with Jesus Christ. He said, I got me a Bible. I got in my cot and I stayed there for 1 year. He said, I didn't come out very often. And boy, you talk to him, he's constantly quoting scripture. Everything he talks about is scripture. He said, I fell in love with him. He said, I fell in love with him. I relearned something. I learned that it don't take alcohol to fix things. It doesn't take drugs to fix things. That thing I was shooting in my arm wasn't doing any good. I fell in love with the Savior. He said, you see those guys in there that you just preached to tonight? He said, probably most of them was here to get a paper signed. They was here to get a paper sign saying they was in a rehab clinic tonight. Or they was in a Celebrate Recovery program tonight. To show the judge, he said, that's all they're doing. He said, until they fell in love with Jesus Christ, they will not be made better. I thought, man, how much of life is true about that? And then it says new wine. This new wine was actual grape juice. Actual, if you look at the name, the meaning, where they got new wine from, was from a word, and I'm going to mess this one all up. Sure enough, bad. Tyrosh, T-I-Y-R-O-S-H. You know what it means? Expulsion. It means to squeeze a grape, literally, and to get the juice that just comes out of it. And you know what this was in that day? It was a delicacy. It was something you wanted. You wanted a fresh drink of that nice grape juice that was so refreshing. Listen, they couldn't go to the store and buy Coca-Cola. Couldn't go down here and get sweet tea or unsweet tea. They so desired that, listen, that desire for that luxury could take away their heart. And your desire for things, material things today, can take away your heart. You can spend all your energies and all your times on these things, and they can take away your heart and make you in complete desolation. Not only is the dangers of no knowledge of God destruction and desolation, it's also daughters. You say, what? Daughters or our families. Chapter 4, verse 13. They sacrifice upon the tops of mountains and burn incense upon the hills, under oaks and poplars, elms, because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom. Listen, and your spouses shall commit adultery. Now listen, he's talking to the priest right here. But the Bible says today that me and you are made priests because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ. So me and you are made under shepherds. We made a priest, if you will. Because you know what a priest could do? He could go directly to the throne of God. And me and you today can go directly to the throne of God. And listen, he's talking to us in these verses, and he says, because you've been involved in these things, because you allow this in your home, because you allow this in your life, guess what? Your daughters is taken into whoredom. So when your daughter's out and acting like any such way she wants to, you really have no reason to condemn her. She got it from you. See, the priest was involved with temple prostitutes. And he says, when your daughters is caught up in this thing, that's what's going to happen. He says, and also your spouses will commit adultery. Your spouses will commit adultery. Listen, men, we want to get involved, women also, we want to get involved in all these things and have all the little fun we want to and enjoy all this sin because, listen, sin is fun. Whoever tells you sin is not fun is a liar. The Bible says it's fun for a season. It tells the end thereof is death. So this thing is fun. We want to have all this fun, enjoy all this sin, and I can handle it. Don't worry, preacher, I got it. He says, you daughters will commit whoredoms, and your spouses will commit adultery. Your family will be the result of no knowledge of God. The end of your family will be the result of no knowledge of God. We're showing them examples. Sin affects more than us. You'll talk to people about a certain sin they caught up in, and the first answer they give you, the very first answer they always give you, it won't affect anybody but me. If this thing I'm doing, it don't affect you, preacher. It don't affect our church. It don't affect this or that. It don't affect anybody but me. May I tell you something? Do you realize today how fast information spreads? Do you realize that? I could do one thing wrong here this morning. I could say a word out of place, or I could do this, or I could hurt somebody's feelings. And by the time I got home, or the time we walked out that door, you'd put it on Facebook. You'd hit a little button called share. And immediately, if you like Stephanie, 4,000 people would get it. And those 4,000 hit share, and 8,000 would have it. And that one, before long, 50,000 people has got the information about what I've done, and you say your sin only affects you. Oh, really? Listen, our sin affects our families. It affects our church families. It affects our communities. It affects everyone around us. It has an effect. Those daughters, what are they seeing? Those sons, those young children, what are they seeing, mom and daddy? How are they seeing you worship the Lord? Do they see a time when mom or daddy gets alone in prayer? Sadly to say, mine never did. I'm ashamed of that. Do they see a time when daddy wants to tell them about the Word of God? Listen, I'm like Scott Gentry. I stand up here and preach it every Sunday, so I guess I thought that maybe that was covering me. But listen, I failed as a parent. I failed as a parent preparing my children for world by the Word of God. I remember when Emily left off for college, the Lord spoke to me and said, she's going to get down there. She's going to try these things. She's going to do this. You know why? Because it's your fault. You didn't ingrain the Word of God in her. Yes, you preached every Sunday since she was 8 years old, and you done all this, but when did you spend the one-on-one time with them? Oh, me. And I'm being long-winded this morning, but I got to. What are they seeing in our worship? What are they seeing in our worship? When's the last time, church, these little ones has saw us come down? Listen, the little ones is in the classes with us, and they're in the classes with our teachers and all this. Teachers, be honest with yourself. If they knew your life, do you really need to be in that place? And you would have to say no. But listen, if you really knew my life, should I be in this place? No, we're all failed humans, and we make mistakes. But bless God, it's time we repent and begin living according to the way God's called us to live. It's time we're influencing more people than ourselves. What are they seeing? Not only Well, if we lose the lack of knowledge of God, do we get destruction, desolation, lose our daughters? But God made a declaration, and I'm closing. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. I was taught in Bible college, never leave a congregation in a mess like I've left you right now. Won't you listen to this declaration that God makes? Hosea chapter 5, verse 15, he says, I will go and return into my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their affliction, and they will seek me early. Folks, does it not seem that God may have left us a little bit in our nation? Does it not seem that maybe God's not visiting our churches like he used to when Mama and Papa's down here crying in the altars? And boy, we heard about great Holy Ghost meetings and the Spirit getting a hold of somebody and them getting excited. And boy, does it seem like people's not being saved anymore? What in the world has happened? I tell you what's happened. Even in our churches, we've lost the knowledge of God. And he said, I'll go back. I'll return. I'll go and I'll return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face in their afflictions and will seek me early. He said, until they get me as their number one priority, guess what? You ain't going to find me. You ain't going to find me because I'm not number two. I'm number one. And until you make me number one, I'm just going back to my place and I'll see you when you decide you need me. Boy, that's some pretty strong words. Listen, this is not coming from me. This is coming from God. Listen to chapter number 6. Listen to these first three verses, chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hosea had prophesied all this to him, and said, the reason God has left us, it's for the lack of knowledge. The reason God has destroyed, let families be destroyed. God hadn't destroyed families. He's allowed families to be destroyed. He's allowed churches to be destroyed and communities to be destroyed is because of lack of himself. Lack of knowledge of himself to people. But he tells them something. He says, Hosea, tell them this, that when they return to me, I'll bind them up. I'll restore them. I can remember when I was a young kid, I had a cousin from Carrollton. He would come down. He was a spoiled brat. He was an only child. He's my age and still don't work. He's still spoiled. I hope he gets Facebook. We're going to hear this. We'd come down. We'd begin playing football, and he'd lose. And he was always competitive because his daddy put him in sports time he was 2 years old probably. And the time he started getting beat, you know what he would say? I want a do-over. I want a do-over. Listen, church, I got great news for him today. I preached some hard things today. I preached some things that stepped on my own toes. I preached some things that has smote me this week. I preached some things that I knew was going to make you mad at me. But I got good news. He'll forgive you. He'll bind you up. He'll return unto you and be as it never was. Yes, you have to, if a sin's got a hold of you and you've allowed it to affect your family, you'll have to deal with the consequences. That won't be wiped out. King David still, the day he died, and even nations today are still dealing with the consequences of David's sin. Still dealing with it. Your family will deal with these consequences, but may I tell you something? Your soul will be forgiven. You will once again be made right with God, and he can return unto you and to our churches. As everyone would, please stand as our singers come forth. I don't know of a time when we see, I say this all the time, but I know it's more irrelevant to me as I look around. People are starving for something. Boy, they're hungering for something. As I began looking around at churches this week, and I was in different places and watching on TV and internet looking at this, and I saw a guy posted where a preacher was going to be at his church, and this preacher, a great big church in Tennessee, and I began looking at it, and boy, it seems that you got to have some kind of marketing degree today to have a great church. You've got to have something. You know why? Because we're hunting. Everybody's hunting for something, and to get them here, we've decided we're going to entertain them. We're going to entertain them. We're going to give them this and this. Listen, I'm not against having fun. Bless God, we're going to a Braves game. And I like it. And I like having fellowship. But listen, church, listen, we could get a million here for entertainment. But don't you think it's time as a church that we get people here to gain a knowledge of God and make a difference in our land? That's the growth I want. I want people coming to this place, and when they go back to their homes, they're different. I want them coming to this place, and when they go back to work, they're different, and begin telling people that, listen, I gained something today. I gained a little bit more knowledge of God. That's my desire as a preacher, to help you gained a little more knowledge of God. And I was studying for that this week, and the word knowledge was coming to mind all week. And I had a school teacher. His name was David Mobley. Some of y'all may know Coach Mobley. He had a word. He said he spent all these years at Ramburn stomping out ignorance. That's what he always said. He didn't call it a teacher. He called it stomping out ignorance. One of the greatest teachers I ever had, because I love science. But that's what it is today. A lot of us are just... ignorance is not a bad word if you realize what it means. It means you just don't know. It means a lack of knowledge. It means a lack of knowledge. And listen, I'm going to give you a little bit of a break. The reason you may have a lack of knowledge is men such as myself have let down guard preaching the Word of God of fear of not having a big congregation, of fear of not having a lot of glory, of saying I've got 500 members. We've let that, and we've sweetened the Word of God up a little bit and sweetened it with all this entertainment stuff we can get a hold of. Listen, this thing is real, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and there's not enough words I can say to change your heart. But bless God, that Word of God can say one word and smite you, and you'll find yourself on your face before God. As we play this morning, is there anybody here today that's struggling with something? Maybe you're struggling with a sin. You say, I just cannot get away with this thing. I cannot get it out of my mind. I can't get it out of my heart. I must partake of it. It's just always there. Is anybody here today, or am I the only one that struggles? Am I the only one that struggles with things and these thoughts and all this stuff that I just can't? Am I the only one? I don't think so. I think we all struggle. I think Paul talks about of laying aside a weight that's so in a sin that so easily besets us. I think each one of us has a sin that holds us back, that destroys us if we allow it. We can be victorious over this thing, but we must gain more knowledge of who God is and gain the understanding of what He cares for us. I want to ask you to make a decision today that you're going to do away with this thing, that you're going to strive. And listen, it's not going to go easy. If it was, it wouldn't be such thing as addiction. If this thing could just be spoken and done away with, there wouldn't be people struggling in homes and staying away from their family for a year to get better. Will you come today and make a commitment that you're going to do your best to gain knowledge of God, through this knowledge of God, that He will change your heart? You see, it's not a problem of this or that. It's a heart problem that comes from a lack of knowledge of God, as she sings.